Welcome back. It's a Wednesday, midweek, the 24th day of August, 2022. I'm your host, Mark Call, and let's start off our look at what's going on around the nation and the world today with a segment I guess I need to call News That You Already Knew, But It's Really New Anyway. Case in point. Insurance companies in the United Kingdom, says a piece from Natural News, say that there was a significant increase in death payouts in the year 2021 linked to the Booga Booga Flu, the COVID-1984 Wuhan Fauci Flu Plandemic. The Association of British Insurers, or ABI, is quoted, which represents more than 200 member companies, and it attested to the increase, saying that payouts for, get this folks, COVID-related individual claims almost doubled. After, who could have thought it, the rollout of the Zyklon B, COVID-19 vaccines. And furthermore, wrote the Daily Exposé on the news, in the year of the so-called vaccine, there are as many claims as in the year of the pandemic. And of the claims made, there was a 69% increase relating to people who had died. And you know what else, folks? That's only having to do with COVID. That's not counting people who took the poison poke and died for all kinds of other reasons. And you know the list. Hey, it's only a half-hour show. I'm not going to read it again. But still, it's death by all causes, including things like car wrecks when somebody has a stroke behind the wheel, that really exploded after phase two of the bioweapon was released. Here's another one, same theme. I bet you knew this, but probably not how bad it was. Skyrocketing natural gas prices in Europe. Oh yeah, we knew that. That's one of the side effects of trying to start World War III. They're now hitting factories, though, and supply chain shortages and layoffs are expected this winter. Oh yeah, gee, tell me something we didn't know. How about this? Gas prices have not only doubled since June, when Russia first responded by cutting back on the Nord Stream pipeline, which, of course, carries gas to Europe's biggest economy, Germany. But are you ready for this? The European gas benchmark now trades at what would be the equivalent of $410 per barrel if it was crude oil, highlighting what Ole Hansen, head of commodity strategy at Saxo Bank, called the debilitating economic impact on the region. And as a result of soaring and record gas prices, Germany's and the rest of Europe are being hit hard. Companies are now announcing production halts or curtailments until further notice. Which now means what? After the World War or the following Dark Age? What we're seeing in Europe now, folks, is beyond stupid on steroids. It's the self-destructive equivalent of shooting yourself in the foot again and again and then reloading. Stupid like this doesn't just happen. It has to be groomed, which obviously means it really wasn't an accident at all, or even stupid.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Oh, and at this point, if Russia decides to completely suspend deliveries of natural gas, Germany will only have enough supply to cover maybe 2.5 months of consumption this winter. Then the freeze really hits. Said Amrita Sen, director of research at Energy Aspects, to Bloomberg on Wednesday, the burden of high gas and oil prices will actually mean we're going to see some steep contraction in the European economies next year. Gee, do you think? From Fox News, an updated story on what the regime is doing to members of the U.S. military that didn't get the message, we don't want your kind anymore. U.S. Navy service members who are seeking religious exemptions, and you'd have thought by now they'd have known better, to the Department of Defense, SIC, and their COVID-1984 Zyklon B mandate have been transferred into deplorable living conditions, and in some cases, they're even unable to leave while awaiting termination from Big Brothers, no longer a military defense organization, according to court documents. First Liberty Institute, in November, filed a lawsuit on behalf of 35 active duty SEALs and 3 reservists seeking, but not having ever received, a religious exemption to that hideously unconstitutional and downright inhuman mandate. It's one thing to be asked to lay down your life in a battle or to save a sinking ship. It's another thing just to be told to commit suicide because they think they can make you, as first reported by Fox News Digital. And that case has now been amended to a class action lawsuit encompassing all Navy service members seeking those elusive religious accommodations. In March, the Supreme Court blocked a mandate of a lower court in Texas that would have forced the Navy to stop implementing their disgusting vaccine mandate. Now, that case continues to be litigated in lower courts around the country, and unvaccinated SEALs and other sailors who have not yet been terminated by Big Brother are stuck in limbo, many of them forced into less than desirable alternative housing by the military or even barred from traveling outside their base. In a court filing in June by First Liberty in the Northern District of Texas, sailors recounted the deplorable conditions on large U.S. vessels where they remain, awaiting as their cases are slowly adjudicated. And I'll spare you some of the gruesome details and pictures, folks, but suffice it to say, you wouldn't want to treat a dog this way, much less somebody you expected to risk their lives, hopefully defending their country, which, of course, no longer seems to have much to do with the military's purpose nowadays. And yes, in case you had forgotten, the Navy still has never granted so much as a single religious exemption to the Zyklon B mandate. And there are over 4,200 currently pending. That does at least cause your host to wonder just how many religious sects might have a problem with suicide by lethal injection. Here's one more in the category. Is this really news? Oh, yeah, we knew it, but there's more. This comes via Mercola and theburningplatform.com about how the Federal Bureau of Instigation is, I hope you're sitting down, folks, investigating millions of Americans, and of course, they don't need no stinking warrants. In this case, it's the 2022 Annual Transparency Report. Oh, yeah. From the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, the odorous ODNI, that reveals, yeah, you know it, the FBI has been surveilling millions of American citizens, and they don't need no stinking warrants or even probable cause. Between December 2020 and November 2021, the FBI scoured private emails, texts, and other electronic communications of between 3 and 4 million U.S. residents without obtaining so much as one single warrant. And bad as it was before that, in the year prior, just under 1.3 million Americans were surveilled similarly. And since the successful coup, there's not only been a sharp uptick in the number of admitted warrantless searches, but also the number of times Big Brother has asked for the identity of individuals surveilled to be revealed, a practice known as unmasking. And ponder the irony in that, too, because the only people getting unmasked are the ones that shouldn't have been searched. Supposedly, says the piece, these oath-breaking traitors were looking for signs of potential terrorist activity. Well, you'd think all they'd have to do is to see what color somebody was or whether they ever picked up a Bible. Okay, I guess the point is they're going to call them white supremacists or now domestic violent extremists, regardless. But still, in the process, they violated the what were once called constitutional privacy rights of millions. And certainly, if the claim was, oh yeah, we're also looking to prevent hacking attacks, oh yeah, hacking for me, but not for thee, the mass surveillance doesn't seem to have achieved that stated aim either. And here's the punchline. In the aftermath of the most recent example of how the law doesn't mean squat anymore, the FBI's unprecedented Banana Republic-style raid on the home of President Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate in Florida, many, it says, are starting to question, gee, do you think, the FBI's totalitarian actions, not just in this case, but of course in a more general sense, since they've been doing this for years, if not decade after decade. But what's become clear is that the FBI has now been totally weaponized in order to hunt down, neutralize, and if necessary, we're getting there, destroy, by whatever means necessary, political opposition. Continues the author, the fact that for the first time in history, they've made a raid on a former president shows, and this is the point, obviously, no one is safe from Big Brother overreach, or more precisely, the overreach of a government that's been captured by a globalist cabal. And this has been made all the more disturbing by the fact that, yeah, we knew the FBI has been surveilling millions of American citizens without warrants or probable cause, but they're not even hiding it anymore. Public assurances aside, it says, the Gestapo agency has been caught repeatedly acting lawlessly. How many examples do we need just in the last year? Like the FBI-infiltrated kidnapping plot of Gretchen Whitmer of Michigan. Or, of course, the execution of an American mom 30 years ago holding her infant daughter. At least they lied and tried to cover that up for a long time. Nothing's changed. It's just that they've gotten more and more bold about it. According to the American Civil Liberties SICK Union, the FBI continues to violate Americans' privacy, quote, on an enormous scale. And let's not forget, wrongthink is now a crime in and of itself. So maybe privacy actually does still matter for something. Look, for example, at Dr. Simone Gold, who's now serving a prison sentence over what amounts to a medical opinion that's not endorsed by Big Brother's official gain-of-function gnome. She didn't do anything criminal or illegal. She's obviously a political prisoner. In response to the ODNI's report, Ashley Gorski, senior attorney with the ACLU's National Security Project, put it this way. Today's report sheds light on the extent of these unconstitutional backdoor searches and underscores the urgency of the problem. It's past time, and that's an understatement, folks, for Congress to actually do something to step in and protect Americans' Fourth Amendment rights. You may recall what Joseph Stalin's secret police chief, Lavrenty Beria, once famously said, "Show me the man, and I'll show you the crime." This is the guy that oversaw the expansion of Stalin's gulags, as opposed to Biden's, for political dissidents, where he bragged he could prove criminal conduct by anyone, anywhere. And he didn't even have the technology that Big Brother does today. Why, with a deepfake, folks, you can even show people saying what you wanted them to say, especially if you tap their phone without a warrant and claim that you got it there. What jury isn't going to sign off on that slam dunk, especially when they know they're probably going to be next if they don't? The Mercola story then goes into great detail about CIA abuses associated with the persecution of people like Julian Assange, whose real crime seems to have been letting people know about Hitler and putting the kibosh on the election rig back in 2016. And how attorney Richard Roth put it, their blanket data collection, quote, may make it impossible for Assange to get a fair trial, as if they really even cared about that. But it goes on to say this, since the beginning of the COVID pandemic, we've seen ever more egregious overreaches by government. So-called intelligence agencies have gone so far as to slap the domestic terrorist label on anyone who expresses an opinion that counters the narrative directed by the elitist globalist cabal, which is why the author suggests privacy rights should be protected. In August 2021, former Assistant Secretary for Homeland Security Juliet Kayyem proposed putting all unvaccinated Americans, you know who you are, on a no-fly list. Doctors who dare to speak out against the medical tyranny that is now the standard of care, or better put, not care, for COVID, are being stripped of their medical licenses. And globalist organizations such as the so-called International Grand Committee on Disinformation, which consists of, quote, an international array of legislators, policy advisors, and other experts, are working together to end the entire concept of free speech worldwide. And every click, comment, and online search can and will be used against you. We've been sold a lie, the author begins to conclude. Surveillance powers aren't intended to protect us. In fact, they're being used against us, and probably that was the intent all along. And after all, the Great Reset didn't emerge out of nothing overnight either. It's a plan that's been in the works for decades, and the complete global digital surveillance network required for it to function as an open-air prison has been built up around us for just as long. We were fooled into thinking it was for our own good, for our protection, but come on, it's not. It's to ensure we will not have the ability to rebel once the final pieces of the Great Reset plan are put into place. Big Brother's three-letter enforcement agencies, starting with things like the FBI and CIA, but he left out all kinds of others. I could put BATF in there, for example. And let's not forget 87,000 new IRS Gestapo agents, armed and prepared to break in, the new standing army of 2022, need to be dismantled. And he adds, make no mistake, this is the highest stakes game in human history, because we're facing nothing short of the enslavement of all humankind, and the so-called intelligence agencies are proving just which side they're really on. But maybe we should have known that since they started killing presidents. Next, one more, or actually in part anyway, two more stories that fit into the category of, yeah, we knew this all along, but wow, maybe we didn't really know it was that bad. Susan Duclos at the All News Pipeline has a piece up under the headline, "The Biden Regime is Levying War Against the United States." Yeah, tell me something we didn't know. In this case, by facilitating the invasion of America by foreign entities, which actually does amount to treason. But who in the swamp reads the Constitution anymore? Apprehensions at the southern border, and that doesn't count the masses of terrorists who don't get apprehended, are now averaging over 200,000 per month, including frightening numbers of people whose names actually should appear on the terror watch list. But actually, that's only one part, albeit a big one, of the treason equation. Here's another, courtesy of Jack Phillips in the Epoch Times, and it may be worse than you know. The Biden regime, he says in the headline, is running the world's epicenter of child trafficking. This according to Stephen Miller, a former White House advisor who accused the Biden regime of turning the United States into exactly that, the world's epicenter for child trafficking due to the administration's, border policies. Quote, "These astronomical numbers defy any historical comparison. So overwhelmingly are the prior records exceeded that there's simply no reference point. Biden, with the unflinching aid of 50 Senate Democrats," he wrote on Twitter over the weekend, "is running the largest child smuggling operation our world has ever seen." This in response to a report finding that some 250,000 children, that's a quarter of a million folks, crossed the border last year and were sent to, get this, sponsors. Once upon a time, they might have been called pimps or worse, since the Biden regime took over the government last year. Miller, who currently heads the America First Legal Group, but was once one of the Trump administration's architects, said in a separate interview that the policy is creating, quote, "the largest child smuggling epidemic in human history. It has enriched virtually every major child smuggler in the hemisphere and far beyond. It has filled the ranks of MS-13. It has created a monstrous industry of vast global reach," he told the Washington Examiner on Monday, "and it has made America's border into the world's epicenter of labor trafficking, sex trafficking, and modern-day slavery." So guess what, folks? When a liberal, totalitarian, progressive communist tells you that whatever they're doing for the children, now you know, at least on that score, they're not lying. It's just not at all what you might have thought. Maybe, though, it helps explain why they want so many kids either pre- or post-birth aborted. Since they intend to own the market, it helps to drive up prices. And I wish I was only being sarcastic. From there, I want to go to a related piece, but first I want to read one of those, ignored sections, Article 1, Section 8, as a matter of fact, of the Constitution for these United States of America, where it says the Congress shall have the power to do a number of things, and they don't pay any attention to that anymore and do a whole lot of things that have nothing to do with the powers actually delegated. But one of those that is in the list is to provide for calling forth the militia to execute the laws of the Union, suppress insurrections, and repel invasions. Full stop, and I'm going to suggest, look at those three things that they can call forth the militia to do. Execute the laws of the Union, and arguably that doesn't mean unconstitutional three-letter agencies to execute the inhabitants of the Union. Suppress insurrections and repel invasions. Well, as is pretty clear at this point, on that score they're literally 0-3, especially over the last several years. The laws of the Union have been undermined, if not outright destroyed. The insurrection was successful. They completed the takeover in 2021. And the invasion, as we've seen, is pretty much out of control at this point. So from there, let's go to a piece from the Lowell Sun, which begins similarly, saying it's the responsibility of the central government to protect the United States of America from invasion. So how is it possible that top regime officials have directed 21,000 Border Patrol officers to retreat or distance themselves and seek cover in response to thrown or hurled projectiles from illegal aliens or drug smugglers or terrorist invaders or just about anybody else that wants to come in across the open southern border? They're directed to keep their weapons holstered when drug smugglers drive by, and agents are not allowed to use guns against a fleeing vehicle. Instructions also indicate that officers will be penalized if they don't step back. These new rules, it says, were issued in March by Michael Fisher, chief, of the U.S. Border Patrol. And in a news conference, Fisher told reporters that so-called agents would be equipped with short-range tasers and pepper spray, plus medium-range pellet guns to deter attacks. Yeah, that'll deter them. With all of these restrictions, the story asks, rightfully, what's the point? How can we even begin to protect our borders? How are we protecting our own Border Patrol people, much less American citizens? Does the regime even think or care about protecting actual Americans? Well, we know the answer. It's become crystal clear. But wait, there's a bit more here. And at this point, I'll reveal a quick secret. This article was actually penned in April of 2014, years ago, during the Obama regime, when the illegal alien invasion was but a foretaste of what it's become since. And maybe this helps explain why. It also harkens back to another point. At the same time this was going on, the Obama Fuhrer was building what was called a non-military national security force. The one he referenced, you remember the famous quote, in his 2008 campaign speech.
We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
We got to have that standing army that the founders rightfully called the Bane of Liberty. And guess what, folks? He's now succeeded with his Biden puppet, an 87,000-strong new IRS standing army sent hither to harass our people and eat out their substance. Said the Sun, and remember, folks, this was back in 2014. It was absolutely true then. We're still seeing the effects today. Obama purged our military of generals and officers, cutting the military budget and advocating gun control, but in the process building a vast arsenal of weapons and ammo under the Department of Aktung Homeland Security. Border agents have the most dangerous job in federal law enforcement, and since they're being told to refrain from using lethal force on the job, why, oh why, is the DHS hoarding bullets? And this quotes that General Accounting Office, or GAO, report from that era, noting that the DHS planned and obviously succeeded in buying a huge amount of ammunition, 703 million rounds through only fiscal year 2018. And no, it's not just Homeland Security. Other three-letter agencies are becoming more and more militarized, and today, folks, we're seeing the effects under the Obama regime's watch. Domestic agencies that have nothing to do with actual national defense, and now I guess we could be talking about the military, since national defense seems to have literally fallen off their radar. But then it was things like the Department of Education, the U.S. Postal Service, the Social Security Administration that are all stockpiling weapons and ammunition. But wait a minute, yeah, probably number one in the heap, the Internal Revenue Service, the terror enforcement arm for the private Federal Reserve. And by the way, folks, that is fascism at its finest, the public-private partnership writ large and literally totalitarian in extent. As this author concluded way back then, the Obama regime strategy, which now seems to have been successful, folks, is to take guns away from innocent citizens so that they can't fight back, shred the Constitution, well, call that one a done deal, defile the military, and ooh, have they succeeded beyond their wildest dreams there, and build a shadow army, a standing army, is how the founders put it, through three-letter federal agencies. He quotes George Washington, who once said, "A free people ought not only to be armed and disciplined, but they should have sufficient arms and ammunition to maintain the status of any who might attempt to abuse them, which would include their own government." Unquote. I guess the only difference today is it's no longer even remotely our own government. Finally, another one of those stories that, yeah, we've heard it before. We certainly know it was coming. And while it may not be shocking, some of the details may be a bit surprising, and certainly the timing is of interest too. A China expert, writes J.D. Hayes for Natural News, says that that country is preparing to go to war, and that very soon. Gordon Chang, writing on the 1945 blog, said that Communist China cadres are ordering businesses and entrepreneurs there to convert their production over to manufacturing equipment, a sure sign, he says, that Beijing is stocking up for war. Quote, "Last month, a Chinese entrepreneur making medical equipment for consumers told me that local officials had demanded he convert his production lines in China so that they could turn out items for the military. Communist Party cadres," he said, "were issuing similar orders to other manufacturers." And maybe, folks, this helps explain what's going on at Walmart and Target and other massive importers from Communist China, who are looking ahead to see a retail season that, might need some paring down. Although this isn't the reason they've been touting. Moreover, wrote Chang, Chinese academics privately say the ongoing expulsion of foreign colleagues from China's universities appears to be a preparation for hostilities. "The People's Republic of China," he continues, "is preparing to go to war, and it's not trying to hide its efforts. Amendments to the National Defense Law, effective the first day of last year, transfer powers from civilian to military officials," he added. And in the process, more power is being given to the party's CMC, or Central Military Commission. The party, he added, quote, "as it readies itself for combat, is leaving nothing to chance. In March, its Central Organization Department issued an internal directive prohibiting the spouses and children of ministerial-level officials from owning foreign real estate or shares registered offshore." In other words, it looks like disengagement from overseas financial institutions and property, perhaps designed to sanction-proof Chinese officials. And now that nutcase Nancy Pelosi has officially given them the green light, and American officials seem to be aware of what's taking place, it looks like both countries are gearing up to go to war over Taiwan. On every front, folks, we can now see the pieces falling into place. Civil war at home, global war abroad, and economic meltdown worldwide. No wonder Big Brother's cranking down the screws hard and fast, like literally there's no tomorrow. Be aware, pay attention, and may Yahuwah bless you and yours.